Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, what the Lord has been really dealing with me about is just the fact that this year, God is really going to move by His Spirit. And the word He gave me was move beyond limits and expect God to do beyond everything that has limited you. If you felt in the past like you were disqualified or you didn't have what it would take to do what God wants to do, God said, forget about it. Because He said, I'm going to pour out My Spirit. Limits will be taken off. And so He gave me some scriptures, and we're passing them around here, so that you can kind of read along. And these are some of the scriptures that I do the first of every year. I know somebody that's been here for all the years. You know that one of the things I recommend is that you read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's very important that we do that every year. You don't have to go stand in the cemetery and read it, but it's helpful. If you'll stand in a cemetery and read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll get perspective. Because it's vanity, all is vanity, and the only thing left is that's worthwhile is to walk in the fear of the Lord. And then, of course, we have these other scriptures here that are part of my... It's something that I do every year. As I go back over these. But what God wants you to see in this is that He is going to be moving. What He told me, He said, now I'm going to do it whether you participate or not. So He said, but you can participate if you want to. But if you don't, it's not going to hinder Him because He'll find someone who will. So it's not like if we don't do it, it won't get done. But if you want to enjoy something, this is the year to really enjoy the kingdom of God. 2 months ago, I was speaking over in Greenville and just ministering, and the Lord spoke. And He said, this is My time. This is Your time. And they said, this is My time. This is Your time. Said, the world has had its turn, and now it's My time, it's Your time. Let's prepare our hearts, let's be ready. God wants us to be bold, to do whatever it is that He's calling on us to do. Some of it will be crazy. Christians won't even want to be around you because of the silly, crazy things that He'll be asking you to do. A lot of it will be dealing with worldly people. See, you know, we try to communicate between ourselves, and of course sometimes that becomes a real struggle because not everyone believes alike. I don't want to listen to you and all that. The thing is, the world is living in such darkness that they'll accept any light that you offer. And so what you offer them, they're going to be thrilled with it, where the nominal Christian will reject it. And the other thing is as God turns on the light, and you move in that light, okay, there's going to be people who love you and love the light. There's also going to be people who hate you because they hate the light. This is the condemnation that has come into the world. People love darkness rather than light. So just be ready for that, you know. But hang on, because this is going to be wonderful. The weather's crazy. The kingdom of God is being unleashed upon the earth. And that's going to be crazy too. But I'm going to be right in the middle of it. So let me just share these scriptures with you. Most of them you know, most of them we've covered many times over, but we need to refresh ourselves in these things. Remember what Jesus told them there in the book of Revelation. You know, bring these things up, bring them back to mind. You need to go over them and over them. Just because we know them or even memorize them doesn't mean that we shouldn't be rehearsing them among ourselves. Okay, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who, like, in consequence of the action of his power, that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. So you see why I titled that Beyond Limits. Most Christians will be embarrassed to try to move outside of their comfort zone. And God is saying, you move outside that comfort zone, I will be with you. I'm going to do superabundantly, far over and above all that you dare ask or think, infinitely beyond your highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. That's a bunch. Ephesians 1:19-20. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This power to you who believe, see, it's not just the disciples, that's us, believers. This immeasurable power that he used when he raised Christ from the dead. I know we've talked about it before, but you know, some of God's acts, like parting the Red Sea, we happen to know now, because they found the chariot wheels, that was 80 foot of water, not 4 inches of water. As the naysayers tried to say, it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea, and it was only 4 inches deep. Well, we know for sure now that it was 80 feet deep. And God parted it wide enough for 3 million people to pass through. That's power.
That's power.
If you've ever tried to make a waterbed and lift 6 inches of a corner, about impossible. Can you imagine moving 80 feet? And then when they came to the Jordan River at flood stage, and God parted it, and they walked through on dry ground. That's power. When he shook the walls of Jericho down, that was power. They had homes built in those walls. So it wasn't just a wall.
No.
It was actually homes built in those walls. That's power. But when he raised Jesus from the dead, he exerted far greater power than in any of those things. Because Satan was against the resurrection of Jesus. So Satan was fighting against it. All the fallen angels was fighting against it. And in spite of all of that, God raised Jesus from the dead. And he said, I'm going to give you that power. So there would be nothing impossible to you who believe. Uh-huh. Okay. That's what he's trying to encourage us with. There is nothing impossible to you who believe. So we'll look at it. And of course, the things that cancel us out, Jesus called little faith. He said, oh, ye of little faith. And then he followed that by statements. Oh, ye of little faith, why do you doubt? Oh, ye of little faith, why do you reason? Oh, ye of little faith, why do you fear? So get rid of the fear, the doubt, and the reason, and just go ahead and be silly. Just go right ahead and do whatever it is that God's telling you to do.
That's right.
God will do super abundantly over and above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely. With this immeasurable power that He used to raise Christ from the dead. We don't need to be timid. We don't need to be bashful. We need to be bold, knowing God is with us. No need to have Christmas if you don't believe in Emmanuel.
That's right.
God with us.
That's right.
Okay? Ephesians 5, starting at verse 8. For once you were darkness, yeah, that's me, but you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of light, or the Spirit consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. That's the other emphasis I want to make tonight, is we don't do the things we do because God might get mad at us if we don't get it right.
No.
We're doing what we're doing because we're in love with Jesus and we want to please Him. It's kind of like when I travel over the road. I can do anything I want, whether Jesse likes it or not. But I don't. Why? Because I'm thinking about what would please her. And so I live exactly as if she was with me, even though she's not. So it's not a matter of, oh my, you know, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want God mad at me. You know, I don't want to sin. We're not in sin management. You know, we're children of the living God, carrying out God's plan and God's purpose. And so we're children of light, we're walking in the light, and the only reason why we're light is because the light lives in us. It's not because we're light, but it's because that light is in us. Prior to that, we were in darkness, but now we're light. See? But that light's going to cause trouble. It's going to bring a lot of blessing, but it's going to cause a lot of trouble. And so we have to be ready for both. Pleasing of the Lord, let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to Him. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and to approve and convict them. Now, when we think of darkness, you could think of maybe going to the bar or wherever darkness is in Marshall. You know. But that darkness can also be where you attend church.
Yeah.
See? Mm-hmm. And you'll know that it's darkness when the light starts to shine. Mm-hmm. And they start getting upset because there's light. The problem is, when a person gets a tiny bit of light, they think they have all the light there is. The more light I have, the more I realize I haven't seen the light yet. I think Paul said it pretty correctly. We see through a glass darkly. But the light's coming on. I had early morning, I had a vision. The first part of the vision, God had started to show me the kingdom. But it was like watching it on an old television. It was just full of snow and, you know, and the lines and the streaks. And then all of a sudden, it just changed. And it was brighter, clearer than HDTV. I mean, it was a perfect picture. I said, "What is it, Lord?" And He said, "I'm going to show my children the kingdom." and they will be able to distinguish between the play Christians and the real Christians. It's kind of foggy right now, but he said, I'm going to bring clarity so that you can see the kingdom. But not only that, you will be light and others will be able to see. So some will seek you out. They'll come to you. They'll want just to see the light that's glowing on your face. See, they'll see it. They'll come to it. But there'll be others that'll hate it. You know, get out of my church. I don't want you. You know, we don't want light here. You know, you're ruining church for us. You know, we were having nice church until you showed up. A lot of times, just simple things like raising your hands and worshiping the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do it at a ball game.
That's right.
You know? But the thing is when you and I raise our hands, the glory of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord flows out over the congregation. I know because people tell me, I felt that clear over there. Mm-hmm. As soon as you raised your hands, I felt it clear. I felt it clear up in the choir. I felt it clear back there. And so we know that when we worship, we'll get to it here in a minute, but when we worship, that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And a lot of people haven't had God come to church for so long that they don't know what to do when He gets there. So why do we have church? So we can learn about God. We don't want Him to show up. We want to learn about God, but we don't want Him there. Well, God's going to start attending church. It's His church, and He's going to start going to church. So we better be ready for that. Okay? Be constant proofs. Take no part, have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds, enterprises of darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. For it is a shame to even speak or mention of the things that such people practice in secret. But when anything is exposed and reproved by light, it is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. Now, it sounds like Paul is talking in circles. And that's because Paul is talking in circles. Okay? If it looks like he's talking in circles, it's because he is. And what he's saying is light brings in clarity. Clarity brings in light. Light brings in clarity, and clarity brings in light. Okay? Now, our part in this is to keep a life of repentance. Okay? You know, we think repentance is, you know, for that rotten sinner out there, you know, you better repent and come to the Lord. You know, years ago, I was raised in a missionary Baptist church, and we'd have spring revivals and fall revivals. You'd bring in this high-powered evangelist screaming, get red in the face, and repent, you know, and then give the invitation. Well, everybody's invited, neighbors, and you have all these sinners that have come to church. Who's the first one to the altar? But the saint of the church down there at the altar, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, I've fallen short of your glory. And I didn't understand that when I was a kid, but now I do, because that's me. That's me. Every day, I'm in repentance. Mm-hmm. So people say, well, what do you repent of? I don't even know what to repent of when I start. But then the light starts to come. Mm-hmm. As I open my heart in repentance, then the Spirit of the Lord begins to come in. Then I begin to see things. Mm-hmm. Well, why did you say that? Why did you do that way? Mm-hmm. See? I'm sorry, Lord, I've fallen short of your glory. You know? And then I'm repenting. Well, then a greater clarity comes. And then there's greater light. And with the greater light, spots begin to show up. The other day, Jessie had cleaned house, and Jessie's a good house cleaner. She does the dusting, and I do the vacuuming. And anyway, we had the house all clean. Well, except the sun was shining, so I decided to open the curtains. All of a sudden, you could see all the dust. That's what I'm talking about. We think we're clean until the light comes in, until the sun shines in. But I want to be without spot or blemish or any such thing. I don't want any pollution of any kind that will mess up fruitfulness. And so that's the reason why I'm spending so much time in repentance. Ephesians 5:14. Therefore he says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light." Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. Now we know that the word worship comes from the word worth. Okay. That's actually when you're saying worship, you're saying worth-ship. In other words, you're comparing your worth to God's worth. You're saying, I think you're worth more than me. That's worship. Whatever you're worshiping, you're saying you're greater than I am, you're more important, you know. And so when it says walk worthily, it's saying we've compared this, we've decided that God's way is better than our way. And so not only are we going to speak worship, but we're going to walk in worship. We're going to walk worthily, see, so that our walk is also worship. You know, you can tell a lot of different people, you know. The fact is, probably even Los Angeles, you could actually tell one gang from another by the way they walked. Everyone had a certain shuffle, you know, that it made a statement. And God is saying, you can make a statement by how you walk. They'll be able to distinguish you by your walk. Just walk, see you walking down the street. They'll be able to distinguish and accurately. Now, the only way we can get accurate is by practice. I love to shoot rifles, pistols, big bore pistols, archery. I got real good. I practiced what we called with archery, I practiced roving. In other words, I would set targets up in bushes. And then I would just start walking. And as soon as I would see a target, whether it was far or near or whatever, I would shoot it. Now, I got where I could hit that target the first time, every time. Okay. But you put a target up with a bullseye and circles because I became an instinct shooter, then I could walk up to that target. And I could put an arrow dead centered in the middle of the bullseye. But my second shot would be about 2 inches off. And my third shot would be about 5 inches off. And it got worse. See? And then I had to learn, what am I doing wrong? Because my first shot worked. And we do that in the Christian faith. God will use us at some point, and it worked. You know, we're just, there's that situation, and we spoke that word, or we did that thing, or we prayed that prayer, and it worked, and it was just like dead center. And so we're assuming that from now on, we'll just be instinct ministers. The only problem is, the second time I shoot, I miss. Third time I shoot, I miss worse. See, Now I have to learn to be accurate. I have two people with identical problems, and God gives me a word for this person, and so I give it to them, and it works. So now I know the answer for this person. So I give them the same thing, and it don't work. So I need a fresh word for that. Now I have to learn to walk accurately.
That's good.
I can't just be an instinct shooter anymore. See? Because it won't work. If we're going to really walk worthily of the Lord, we need to be in tune with Him. Jesus said, I speak what I hear my Father speak. I do what I see my Father do. That's what this year is all about. It's just being in tune and being able to walk accurately, minister accurately. See? But keep your heart in tune. We all have a problem in that if we don't keep up our Bible being alive in the Word of God, and we don't keep up our time of worship and being in the Spirit, that we begin to backslide. That's what the Scripture calls it. But we begin to be less and less and less. The only problem is we don't forget all the Bible that we memorized. And so being out of the Spirit, we just throw Bible around. Well, I know more than you, you know. Let me tell you a thing or two. Let me quote you a scripture, see. And all we're doing is killing people.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're not helping them at all. We're just killing them with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, the letter kills, but the Spirit brings alive. So we have to get accurate. The only way we're going to be accurate is to live in God's presence. Okay? Live in the Word of God. And we need to speak the Word of God. 40 years ago, I was telling people, even giving testimony. I said, you know, everybody gets excited with testimony. I said, if you're going to give a testimony, give the scripture that you based your faith on along with your testimony, so that the next person who has that need will rely on the Word of God, not your testimony. Because testimonies deteriorate over time. But the Word of God is from everlasting to everlasting. It'll never pass away. And it will always be 100%. So there's another thing of accuracy. Let's be sure that when we're speaking with people, that we don't just tell them things, but we give them the Word of God for them to base their life on and their faith on. Okay. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. Paul says, for my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may become progressively more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person. That's what He's calling us to. He's calling us to intimate relationship with Him. Okay? Then we can know Him, be acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection. All we have is what's coming to us from God. Now, what really matters is the love of God flowing through you and I. And however it comes out to be a blessing to the people, whether it's through giftings, whether it's through apostleship or giving or whatever it is. The main thing is God is blessing people. And so we have to be very careful that we walk humbly. As I've taught you in the past, the word humble comes from the word humus, which is dirt. It's a special dirt that is made up of decaying things. So when I walk humbly, I realize I am dirt that God has breathed upon. But because He has done that, I am the child of a living God. I am a new creation in Christ, but that's God's work. Nothing of my part. See? And so we humble ourselves, but as we humble ourselves, the power of God comes upon us. The Lord spoke to Paul and said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Then I'll glory in my weakness." More strongly, more clearly, thou may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, even to His death in the hope. Now look at this next sentence. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. It's not talking about when you die and go to heaven. It's talking about God doing something in us right here and right now. And Jesus prayed for us. He said, "Father, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want them to be in the world, but I don't want them to be of the world." And He prayed for us. I believe God heard that prayer. I believe that's where I'm to live. That I'm not of the world, but I'm in the world. But I'm here as God's representative. I'm here to do God business. And just think how far advanced the body of Christ would be today if they really realized that. How can we who are dead to sin live in it any longer? How many Christians spent their entire life in sin management? See, well, I've got to stop doing this sin. I've got to stop doing that sin. What if we were lifted out from among the dead while still in the body? What if we were crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, and now walking in newness of life? Not sin management. But we're new creation in Christ. We're the light of the world. Without limit. Without limit. God's going to work. He's going to do great and wonderful things. Already doing it. I'm already seeing it. We're 9 days in and I'm already seeing tremendous things. But we need to walk. We need to walk in the Spirit. It's just simply a time to really, really, really focus on the Lord. Have that intimate relationship with Him. And of course, as the Roman scripture there says, don't be conformed to the world. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Here again, I'm getting so tired of Christians, people I go to church with. "Well, you need to watch this movie." And I said, "Well, tell me a little bit about it." "Well, it only has a few bad scenes. And there's only a few bad words." I said, "Then stop. don't even tell me about it. But it's a good movie. So evidently they saw it. And of course, the other thing that's really getting me is people aren't getting married anymore. In the church. I'm talking about Christians in the church. They're just living together. No thought about it. Let's get enough glory in the church where sinners start repenting. Judgment must begin at the house of God. So be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. God, fasten your eyes upon me. I want your eyes upon me. I drove, of course, all the way from Greenville, Illinois today. I've never seen so many highway patrolmen out on the road. It just seemed like they were there, you know, everywhere, even in the colder motorcycle patrolmen and every other kind of patrolman. But see, I never worry about them. I never worry about them because I know they have their eye on me. But I don't drive below the speed limit because they have their eye on me. But because God has His eye on me. Not only that, but I'm more relaxed. If I set my cruise control at 68 in a 70 mile an hour speed zone, I'm just far more, I just sit back and I worship and I praise God and I wave at the highway patrolman. Because I don't worry about them. See, because I don't plan on going over the speed limit. So it doesn't even affect me. You know, we need to think about what is pleasing in His sight. Not like, oh, I don't want to do something wrong and He'll be mad at me.
No.
But I want to please, you know, I want to please God. And not only that, but you'll find at the end of life, it's just far better. Mm-hmm. Far better. There's more rest, there's more peace, there's more joy. You know, there's actually more life. I watch people out there, and they're driving, and of course it's always real. I'm a people watcher anyway. You know, and then pretty soon I look and here's this same car passing me. And pretty soon here's this same car going. You're so wore out, you have to stop at every rest stop. And I'm sitting back there. Thank you, Jesus. This is a wonderful trip. And I end up blessed and rested, you know, rather than all wore out by the time I get to the, you know, get where I'm going. Okay. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. But we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence and sincerity all the way through in realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope unto the end, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by the leaning of their entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. That's a long sentence. Basically what it's saying is if you'll do, don't grow weary in well-doing, okay? Just keep on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. Don't become sluggards. It's real easy to say, you know, looks like the whole thing's going down the tubes anyway. I think I'll just sit back and, you know. No, it's a time to press in. And Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. of course, I do both. I forget the success, and I forget the failures. I forget all of it. This is a new start. This is a new year. Let's really go for it. And walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Word of God. Walk in the love of God. And just let God do great things. He'll put you in the right place. And, you know, there's a special group of people listed in the Bible, and they're called overcomers. And the overcomers are the ones, as I've told you so many times, but you have to come to something to go over before you can become an overcomer. And so whatever gets thrown in front of you this year, use it as an opportunity, stand on top of it, and advance forward like going upstairs. And then overcome, and then overcome. Okay? Don't sidestep it. You know, whatever's there, don't say, God, why are you doing this to me? You know, don't get in a pity party. The scripture says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful, who will never allow you to be tested above what you're able, but with every test, He makes a way of escape. All you have to do is look at the situation, look in the Word of God, and be in the Spirit. Ask God, what is the escape? How do I escape this? How do I turn this into a victory? Take another step forward. And you'll go up, and you'll go forward, and you'll go up, and you'll go forward, and you'll just keep advancing. Grow weary. Don't be, you know, the Amplified Bible said, don't become a sluggard. There are so many that Christians that it's like they've turned into zombies or something. They're lethargic. It's like there's no one home. And then, because I was just over at Armored Outreach, and those kids are so alive, that it's just like, yeah, you can't teach them it fast enough. They're just so hungry and bright-eyed and ready to go, you know. Yeah, you get to others, you're just like, I don't know, sometimes I look at it, I think, well, there's nobody home.
You know. Awake, old sleeper.
Awake, old sleeper. Anyway, really, really enjoy this year. Enjoy the Lord this year. Understand it is about the kingdom. It's not about endurance. It's not about just getting through the year. You know, sometimes we get so weighted down with problems, it's just like, if I could just get through this. Hey, cheer up. As soon as you get through that, there'll be another thing. Look for the victory in the thing that you're in so that you can get to the next one and the next one and the next one. And sometimes for me, they just come flying day after day after day. You know, I get a new one every day. It's like, yes. But I go right back to the Lord. I say, okay, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to handle it? And then He shows me, and I do it His way. And all of a sudden, there is supernatural power. God is just actually doing it. And then we go to the next thing. And then God does that. And then there's the next thing. And you know, I'm just grinning from ear to ear like, hey, this is fun.